Good afternoon. Thank you for coming back this afternoon and worshiping with us once again. Those that are visiting, we are glad to have you and invite you to come be with us anytime that you're able to do so. Now that you've had opportunity to have a good lunch, I want to talk with you about your diet. That's a popular topic at the beginning of every new year, but I want to think more about your spiritual diet this afternoon for a few minutes and invite you to take your Bibles, follow carefully along with us. And particularly, what I would like to suggest is that your spiritual diet should include all truth. You know, if you think about it, we all have favorite dishes that we eat physically that we like, and we might have something that we would like to have more of and less of some other things. But we can't always eat just what we like and have a healthy diet. We understand that physically, that it can't be all desserts and no broccoli, for instance. We need a good and well-balanced diet. That's what we're told by physicians regularly. And the same is true when it comes to the Word of God. When you think about it, I'm sure you have favorite passages from God's Word, and there are parts of God's Word that are very encouraging, very uplifting, and very strengthening to us, and we enjoy studying about and reading about. And then maybe there are some other parts that are hard to hear. There's no question about that. Hard to digest when you think about it. But strength comes by a good and balanced diet. I'm reminded of Paul telling others how that he had not shunned to declare unto them the whole counsel of God. It would be nice if we could only always focus on a certain part, maybe what we like, but we would not get all the truth. And that would be a fatal error to us when it comes to our spiritual health. In Matthew 4 and verse 4, Jesus wrote, or said, he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but notice, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Our diet needs to be all-inclusive. If it's in God's Word, it's needed, it's essential. It's important that we read it and think about it. The Word of God is literally food for our souls, and we need to look at it that way. That's why when it comes to things like Bible study, both in services and at home, it needs to be a regular thing. How do we feed our soul? Only in one way, on God's Word. How do we get our faith in the first place? Well, it comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. We don't just develop it on our own. We don't grow and become stronger automatically by simply the length of time that we have been a child of God. It comes down to a good and proper diet. And God's Word is central or key to feed our soul. And we find that by the Word of God and the proper knowledge and understanding and application of it, we grow thereby. This is what Peter taught us in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Peter is taking a very well-known illustration here. We all begin in this life as newborn babies. And at that point, our diet is obviously very limited. And imagine if we stayed on that diet the rest of our life. How well would we grow? How well would we develop and be strong? Obviously, we know that would not be good. Even though it's essential in the beginning, we are to grow and develop to where we have a much more varied diet in God's Word. But he is clear that the way that we grow is by the Word of God. We start with the milk, which is really simply saying the first principles of God's Word, the more simple parts of God's Word, which would include the plan of salvation. And then we add to that as we develop and mature and grow. But what is essential, what is key to all of that growth, is God's Word. It is by the Word that we may grow thereby. In Hebrews chapter 5, he discusses the same concept of growth and how we get there, beginning in verse 12, when he said, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. So the writer is talking to Christians that had not developed in the way that they should. He said, by the time that you have arrived at spiritually in your life, you ought to be a teacher. You ought to have developed and grown to where you can teach. We know that you can't teach what you do not know, what you have not grown and developed in. How does that happen? How do you develop that? He says, you ought to be teachers of that which that one teach you again. Instead, he said, the first principles of the oracles of God, that's where they still were. And he said, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Now that focuses on the differences in God's Word. There's the milk of God's Word, the more elementary and simple principles of God's Word, what we have to learn to obey the gospel and become a Christian and worship and serve our God. But then he talks about strong meat. Now just as you can't imagine a man 40 years of age still having nothing but milk in his diet, try to imagine a baby sitting in a high chair with a T-bone steak. And that shows you how ridiculous that would be. We don't start that way. But we can grow and get there. And that's what, again, should happen to every child of God. He says, strong meat belongs to those that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Notice, reason of use. They've grown through the Word of God. And through exercising their senses, developing ever more and more a greater knowledge of God's Word, a greater ability to serve God and to be faithful to Him, and then, as he said, by the time they get developed and mature, able to teach others also the Word of God. But again, it all depends on not just time, but what we do with that time. In Psalm 19 and verse 10, he said, more to be desired are they than gold. Talking about the principles of God's Word. More to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Now again, we might admit that although parts of God's Word literally are sweeter than honey and the honeycomb, not all of them are. They're not all that sweet, but they're all needed. They're all necessary. And by them, he said, is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Again, why should I grow? Why should I develop and learn the principles of the Word of God and put them into practice? By keeping them is great reward. As we talked about this morning, the hope of resurrection, of eternal life, of a home in heaven with God. We grow by it, and all of the Word of God is needed. We can't say that there are non-essential passages. You know, it's interesting what men do with God's Word. Thomas Jefferson years ago took the Word of God and deleted a large part of it, just put down certain principles of it that he thought were good to live by, and just made a condensed version. Even Reader's Digest came up with a condensed version of the Word of God. Well, where do you start condensing? What part of it is not needed? We know clearly that it's all essential. In fact, he said all Scripture is profitable. All of it is needed. It's given by inspiration of God. If it's inspired to us of God, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Now, once again, the instruction that you get and the words that you hear, let's say, from a good parent, is some of it something you like to hear and other parts not? Certainly that's true. How many as we're growing up like to hear those words of correction and reproof? Like to be told when we've done something that we shouldn't have done and be reminded of that. But literally that's part of God's Word as well. All of it's profitable. It's not all that which is going to encourage us or make us again, feel better. In fact, he teaches us, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Parts of God's Word may literally cause us to mourn, cause us to feel sadness and sorrow. When we do wrong, we should not feel good. And God's Word will accomplish God's will to sometimes reprove us, correct us, but always to instruct us in righteousness and how we can be righteous, that the man of God may be perfect. God wants us to be mature, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what God's Word will do. We grow by it. All of the Word is needed. And partial truth literally can be dangerous, as true in most anything. If you only know part of what you need to know, then you're in danger of harming yourself, endangering yourself. Maybe if it's a financial matter, in loss of welfare or wealth, partial information can be, in fact, dangerous. And the same is true when it comes to God's Word. Imagine knowing what you needed to do to be saved up to the point of baptism, and then you just didn't ever learn or know that. Without being baptized into Christ, we have no hope of eternal life. Imagine not knowing how to worship God acceptably and just going on what we ourselves feel or think about it. And so again, not having that information is a difference between life and death. Recognizing the importance of the Word of God, why would anyone fail to seek all of the truth? Now think about that. Think about how many religious denominations there are in the world and how many quickly reject parts of God's Word. It reminds you of Jehoiakim and the penknife and cutting out parts of God's Word that they just don't want in the Word of God. Someone once told a preacher of a passage that he had read that they said, it's not in my Bible. And he said, sure it is. And he opened their Bible and found out, no, it really wasn't, like Jehoiakim. They just cut it out. So you can cut it out. But again, it's not good to have partial truth. You need all of God's Word. If you want to know what it's going to take to be saved and to get to heaven and to find the forgiveness of your sins. So why would anyone seek only partial truth? Well, all truth is not popular. There are many who do not love it, do not seek it. If it conflicts with their will and their idea, they simply do not want it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and reading there in verse 3, says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, that time has come. There are many today who will not endure or tolerate or accept sound doctrine. Sound means, again, the whole counsel of God. Not deleting any of it, not ignoring any of it, having the entire Word of God. But he said, after their own lusts, their own desires, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now what that means is they want to hear what they want to hear, not maybe necessarily what they need to hear. They don't want to be told that they're wrong. They don't want to correct the sin that they're in. They're comfortable living that way. And so itching ears means they will hire teachers that will tell them what they want to hear. The religious world today is filled with those who are perfectly willing to tell men what they want to hear rather than what God's Word actually says. That is not nearly so popular. And he said, they then shall what? Turn away their ears from the truth. Now try to imagine that. Knowing what God's Word said, for instance, your religious neighbor or friend that simply refuses to accept Mark 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And they just turn their ears away from the doctrine of having to be baptized to have the forgiveness of sins and refusing to accept or to believe that. We need to have ears that are open to all truth. No matter where it leads us, no matter what it takes us to, what it requires of us, we need to seek all truth, because the truth and only the truth can save our souls. And truth does not originate with me, does not come from man. It is revealed to us by God. God's Word is truth, and we should seek absolutely all of it. Others shall be turned, it says, unto fables. John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Yes, there are those that love the works of darkness, love sin, they're comfortable in it, more than hearing what God would require of them and wants to be changed in their life. Unfortunately, there are millions living their life that way, that don't want the light turned on around them. They don't want to hear what God says. They would rather eradicate God and His Word completely from their life. Why? Because their deeds were evil and they have no desire to change. They neither come to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. But notice, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Wisdom should tell us that if you're wrong, you need to know it now, while you're still alive, while you still have opportunity and time to do the right thing and to save your soul. And ignoring it and changing God's word or rejecting it will do no good in eternity. It will have no positive benefit or effect for you whatsoever. In fact, will lead to the destruction of your soul. So all truth is not popular, certainly not in our modern day world. Some will not preach the whole counsel of God because of fear. Fear of loss of popularity, fear of loss maybe of a job. You know, there are places that if certain doctrines were taught that are found in God's Word, as they are taught in God's Word, would not go well. And many know that, again, if we're going to keep numbers or we're going to please individuals, then we can't deal with this subject or that subject from God's Word. We just act as if it isn't there. Too many pulpits, even among those who claim to be members of the body of Christ and wear the name of our Lord, too many of those pulpits will focus on just parts of the truth. It's kind of like having dessert every day instead of a main course from God's Word. Having what's pleasing, what no one really objects to. Preaching sermons that could be preached in most religious denominations without disturbing anyone. It's not always popular, and some, for fear and favor of men, will reject the whole counsel of God. What will happen to those who are simply too afraid, too lacking in courage to stand for the whole truth? Well, according to Revelation 21 and verse 8, the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. I want you to just think about the category of sins listed here that starts with the fearful. Many act as if, well, being fearful is not such a bad thing. Everybody has some fears. When you're too afraid to stand for the truth and to demand all truth, then look at the list of sins that you're categorized here with. Murderer, unbelievers, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars are put in the same passage as those that are fearful. And they all have the same end result. They shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Reminds me of the one talent man that came back and said he was afraid. And he went and hid the talent that God had, or the master had given him, and then brought it back later. But he called him an unprofitable servant and cast him into outer darkness. And the same will happen with the one too fearful to stand for or call for the whole counsel of God. Some congregations don't want it. They don't want to hear it. And so they will hire teachers who will accommodate them. Truth does not come cheap, clearly. Anything of true value is going to cost something. The Lord demands that we give up certain things, that we put them away. He talks about put off this and then put on the fruits of the Spirit or the graces that Peter talks about in our life. And we cannot hold on to the world with one hand and God with the other. Satan will tolerate having part of your time and part of your devotion, but the Lord will not. He demands and deserves first place in our life. He has given us exactly what is needed that thoroughly furnishes us unto every good work. But if we only get part of it, if we treat God's Word like going to a buffet and we select only what we like, only what we want, only what we agree with, we can never have spiritual health and growth. It's vital that we understand we must give up the world if we're going to be the friend of God. In Proverbs 23:23, he says, "Buy the truth and sell it not, and wisdom and instruction and understanding." Now think about what in your life physically that you have that you would not sell for any amount of money. I'm sure there are things that are very important to you. There are things in your life that are the most important things to you. And what he's telling us is that's where truth should be. Not only should we demand it and live by it, but we should hold on to it with both hands. We should demand and accept and follow only the truth. Sell it not for anything. He said also wisdom and instruction and understanding. It will affect our love for the truth or not, will affect our choice of congregations that we work and worship with. It's very sad to me that in some areas where I've lived in the past, too many congregations have changed over the years. And I think back and I think if I were to live in that area, where would I go? Where would I identify? Because far too many over time have changed their approach to truth. They have again begun to reject or ignore certain parts and passages of God's Word because again of fear or favor of man. And so our choice of congregations will literally be affected by our strong love for the truth. What are the consequences for choosing the wrong congregation? Well, it will be, first of all, to our own hurt and detriment. It will be, if we are not following the truth, to our eternal destruction. Only the truth can set us free. And just part of it and rejecting others is not enough. It's not sufficient. But not only will it hurt us, it will also hurt our influence. As we talked about, again, in our Bible study class in the auditorium this morning, we all have influence. And I might just simply add that if you are lost in the end, when you stand before the Lord and you end up being separated from Him eternally, then you're not going to be lost alone. You're going to have an impact on those that are nearest and dearest to you. And you're going to either lead them to know and love and obey the truth or the other way. Grandparents, parents, friends, co-workers, we all have influence over a large sphere of people. So think about the fact that not only by going against and not following the whole truth will you be lost, but you'll take others with you. I think about the story of the rich man in the Hadean realm begging Abraham to send others back to warn his brothers that were still on the earth. It was too late for him. He was already lost, but he didn't want his loved ones to end up there. We need to be thinking about that now while we're still here in this world. And the everyday choices that we make regarding the Word of God and our service to God and where we're going to worship and serve God. We need to demand the truth and nothing but the truth. Otherwise, we hurt ourselves, we hurt our influence, we hurt our own children. And we may be very careful about their physical health. We may go to great lengths to try to protect their lives physically while ignoring the most important part of all, whether we instill in them or not a love for truth, the entire Word of God. And finally, we end up weakening faithful congregations over time by changes in spiritual diet and by not accepting and following the whole counsel of God. So again, it's a simple thought, but all of us need to examine our spiritual diet and our love for the truth and our toleration for the truth. It comes to us from God Himself, and it is absolutely vital to our life. If you're here and you're not a Christian, this afternoon we'd like to encourage you to become a child of God. As we mentioned in our lesson near the close this morning, the only way we get into the body of Christ is by being baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. As, again, the whole truth of God's Word teaches us, there's much more to becoming a Christian than just believing in God. The religious world will just pretty much wipe out a large part of what God has said about His plan of salvation. And they'll reject and ignore, for instance, the command to be baptized. But clearly, we're taught, he that believeth and is baptized, Mark 16:16, shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. And then he teaches us that without hearing God's word, we cannot believe it, in Romans the 10th chapter, that God's word must be taught in its clearness and simplicity, that milk of the word that helps us learn in the beginning how to save our souls. And then in believing it, we must repent of our sins. He's very clear about that, that without repenting, we shall all likewise perish. Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. And then upon our confession of faith, to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. That is part of the truth of God's word. Didn't originate with any man. It's revealed by God's own Holy Spirit. If you haven't done that, let me encourage you to think about your spiritual health, your hope of eternal life, and come this afternoon as we stand and sing to encourage your obedience.